Be alert and think straight. Put all your hope in how kind God will be to you when Jesus Christ appears. Behave like obedient children. Don't let your lives be controlled by your desires as they used to be. Always live as God's holy people should, because God is the one who chose you and he is holy. That's why the scriptures say, I am the holy God and you must be holy too. You say that God is your father, but God doesn't have favourites. He judges all people by what they do. So you must honour God while you live as strangers here on earth. You were rescued from the useless way of life that you learned from your ancestors. But you know that you were not rescued by such things as silver or gold that don't last forever. You were rescued by the precious blood of Christ, that spotless and innocent lamb. Christ was chosen even before the world was created. But because of you, he did not come until these last days. And when he did come, it was to lead you to have faith in God, who raised him from death and honoured him in a glorious way. That's why you put your faith and hope in God. You obeyed the truth and your souls were made pure. Now you sincerely love each other, but you must keep on loving with all your heart. Do this because God has given you new birth by his message that lives on forever. The scriptures say, humans wither like grass and their glory fades like wild flowers. Grasses dry up and flowers fall to the ground, but what the Lord has said will stand forever. Our good news to you is what God has said. What offering should I bring when I bow down to worship the Most High, the Lord God Most High? Should I try to please him by sacrificing calves a year old? Will thousands of sheep or rivers of olive oil make God satisfied with me? Should I sacrifice to the Lord my firstborn child as payment for my terrible sins? The Lord God has told us what is right and what he demands. See that justice is done. Let mercy be your first concern and humbly obey your God. A call to obedient action. What a lovely thing to think about. An amazing thing to think about. And from Peter. He was a character, wasn't he? Do you know, we see Peter and as he becomes Jesus' disciple. And then as he denies Jesus, but then gets reinstated and becomes the man of God that we know him to be. What did Jesus see in him? And it's a bit like Joshua. You know, what did Moses see in him that he was able to nurture him and enable him to be an obedient person? The words that I read to you from 1 Peter are pervaded with the hope, the theme of hope. And hope is not just characterized as an optional feature of what we believe as Christians. It's demanded. We have hope. It's a positive hope. It's not just a wishful hope, but it's a positive hope. It's a hope that looks forward to the resurrection of believers, because in verse 3 of the same chapter, it says, Jesus has given us new life and hope that lives on. And it also helps us to begin to understand God's grace, which we see in Jesus. And I know that Mark spoke about that this morning. And it's supposed to help us to determine what it is to live as Christians, especially in terms of holiness. And sometimes holiness is seen almost as a dirty word, you know, that we shouldn't try and aspire. But holiness is really important. It's not that you become holier than somebody else, but it's a way of life. The approach to life that helps us see that our lives have changed, are being changed from where we were before we followed Jesus. Because I can look back in my life and I can see what I was like as a wee girl, and then I can see what I was like as a teenager. Oh, my poor parents. And then as I got married and my marriage ended, and how God rescued me from that, and then how God has used me in different ways, you know? And the person that I am now is because of the way that God has worked in me. And we see examples of that when we have alcoholics or drug addicts who possibly attend AA or Narcotics Anonymous, remaining drug or alcohol free. There should be something about their lives which says that they're no longer living that way. And I have a dad and a brother who are recovering alcoholics today. And if you'd seen their lives before to their lives now, my brother, bless him, is a man of faith now who's fallen after Jesus. But the difference between their lives is amazing. And they have followed that 12-step program, which includes making amends and to say sorry where it's the right thing to do. Sometimes it's right not to say sorry, because the person that you want to say sorry to might have no idea that you have to say sorry. And so it's about that discernment. But you know, it's about how we live our lives and the way that people see that as well. Just this week, one of the nurses gave me a gift. I was overwhelmed by it. And it was a cross stitch that she made. She comes into the Faith Centre very regularly, and she has a lunch there, and she works in A&E, and she finds it a peaceful place to come. And she made me this cross stitch which said, "Spread the love of God through your life. Use words when necessary." And she said when she saw that, she knew that that was for me. And I was overwhelmed, because I suddenly realised that she was seeing God at work in me. Do you know? And it's sometimes you don't realise the impact that you have in people's lives. But whenever I saw that, I really was overwhelmed, because it's how I like to think I do live my life, by spreading love and, if necessary, use words. And so I thought, well, I must be doing something right. But you know, I can only do it with God. She said she saw it and thought of me and framed it and gave it to me. And I think this is what Peter is asking of us. Like in my Bible, in the Contemporary English Version, it says, living as God's holy people. A call to obedient action. Really, it's the same thing. Some of the words used in what we've read take us back to the Old Testament, to the Levitical code. So that's that code that the Jewish rulers would live by, you know, the religious rulers, which demanded a way of life by the people of God. The rules were there so that they would be examples to the nations around them. They weren't just to make them nice people, but God was wanting them to be an example to the peoples around them, so that other nations would see that this is a God who cares for this group of people. And if we follow that same rule, he'll look after us too. If they followed what God required of them, all would go well. At various times in the life of the Jewish people, they did, and all went well. But then they deviated from the code, and trouble came along. And although we are not called to follow these rules, which I think are summed up in Micah, to act justly, to love mercy, to walk humbly with God, this gets taken over by the words and the works of Jesus when he says, love God, love neighbour as yourself. That's a great commandment. The priests and the people had to live in the same code, the same rules, and now here we are required to live in the code of Jesus. The rules of Jesus. Jesus rejected the code of the Pharisees because of the legalistic purity based on the interpretation of what holiness was, and instead preferred the idea of mercy because that reflected more of his father's values of holiness. It was about mercy. Mercy rich in grace was free. Pardon there was given to us. What about us? Where are we in that? Each of us has a past. And what is it that keeps coming back to drag us down? Because sometimes it does, you know, the past encroaches on us. But you know, we don't have to be bogged down because there is another way. And it's about how do we live as God's holy people. In the Levitical code, we have the reverence of, well, it's God, Lord. And as Christians, we know that as our Heavenly Father. A Heavenly Father, not just God as in Yahweh, but actually it becomes more personal. Jesus introduces him and the Lord's Prayer is our Father. Our Father. And that reverence is not a fear as in terror, but as an honouring and a following. By bringing attention to God as Father was enabling us to be seen as part of God's family. Amen. We are no longer strangers, but family members. We put our faith and hope in God because of Jesus, who is our brother, who is our saviour, who is our Lord. And it brings us back to what Jesus said is required to love, to revere God, to love neighbour. Dare I say revere too, as we love and revere ourselves. So that call to obedient action, that call to holy lives is not about me in my small corner and you and yours, but all together to bring the common good, to show people around here that here is a people who cares one for another. At the hospital where I work, it's about being the best Christian I can be so that my Muslim, my Sikh, my Hindu friends can see that Jesus makes a difference in me as I work and witness there. I have to be the best that I can be because I want them to see that here's a God who is different from what they do. And that as I love unreservedly, then so too it shows that difference. So how does it help us as a people of God? Well, over the next couple of weeks, during the election campaign, not another one, we've got choices to make, don't we? Do we just vote for what's good for us? Or do we look at what's best for the community? Part of the government's social policy is looking at something called social prescribing, which means that we as people of God can offer society a new way of being. We can show them a God who cares for them. When people are bereaved or lonely because marriages or relationships have broken down or people have died, often people like that come more often to the hospital because they're alone and they're afraid. Instead of medicine, we can offer friendship and hope for another way of living. We can invite them to the coffee shop on a Thursday, to the Methodist church on another day, to the Life Church at the Bellamy Estate on a Tuesday. There they will find hope. There they will find companionship. There they will find a people who care for them. There they will find a holy people living an obedient, holy life. Hope to live and hope that someone cares, because they will find people who love God and love their neighbour as themselves. It's not rocket science. It's what the churches always do and have been doing, but somehow we need to be more bold. Amen. Peter says, we do this because God has given us new birth by the message that lives on forever. It's the old, old story. One that has changed society in many different ways over time. It's one that brought slavery to an end, that helped take children out of the mines and out of the chimneys and factories. One that honours people and transforms lives. That's the gospel that we have, and that's the gospel that's changed our society. And today, we have another chance to make a difference. And it starts with how we love one another. And this Christmas, we'll do that again with the Meals for Jesus, because it says we love the community that's out there who are struggling, who might need that wee bit extra hand. At the hospital, we will do that remembering people who have died and hoping that as we do that, people will find a new strength for what could be a difficult time of year, when everyone seems to be jolly, because Christmas is always jolly, and yet the reality for some is often different. I think that what I want to leave with you today is that we are called to be children of a holy God. Amen. One who asks us to share that love, that holiness with others. Do you know, if my life was the same as it was when I was 25, I think the world would be a sadder place, because I wouldn't be the woman I am now. I have to change because my God compels me to change. But do you know what my God didn't do? My God didn't say, I want you to be the Edith of 62 when I was 25. He wanted me to be the Edith of 25 when I was 25, the Edith of 26 when I was 26. And he wants me to be the Edith of today, because the Edith of today is okay. But I've changed, because my God has changed me. But he didn't say, I love you only if you change. Do you see what I'm saying? But it's the loving of God that changes us. I would suggest that we need to look again at what we believe. Do we believe in this God who changes? If you think of your own lives. Jesus has never promised us an easy life. When he said to Joshua, he says, I'll be with you. It's going to be rough and tough, but I'll be with you. He does not promise an easy life, but he promises us his companionship on the way. Hallelujah. Which means we're never alone, do you know? And that's really important. And we too should be offering companionship on the way to others, and thereby showing what it truly means to be a follower of our holy God. And do you know, when you look at what Mark and the leadership are suggesting as a way forward for the church, let's see where God is in it. And somehow, within all of that, take a risk for this amazing God of us. Because faith means taking a risk. It's always about taking a risk. It's never about standing still. The day we stand still is the day we may as well just give up. It's not about standing still. It should never be about standing still. It should never be about the status quo. It should always be a continual moving on. So take a risk for this amazing God of ours, who loves me and who loves you, just because he loves me and he loves you.